From the bustling streets to the quiet corners, every town in Ireland has a story to tell. I'm Alison Curtis, and in this series, we're hitting the road to uncover the heart and soul of communities across the country. We'll be meeting people who make these places special, hear their challenges and triumphs, and celebrate the unique spirit that makes each town its own. So buckle up and join me as we discover the magic of my town, only on Today FM. Hello and welcome to my town. Today we're journeying to the heart of County Carlow and a charming village called Ballin. It's a small village full of life and community spirit. With a population around 1,000 people, Ballin is brimming with energy and a diverse mix of residents who make it a truly special place. It's a haven for small businesses and community activities. So let's get going.
Your next stop is Shaka Glass in 250 meters.
Our first stop is Shaka Glass, a national award-winning community thrift shop that truly embodies the spirit of Ballin.
You have reached your destination.
This charming shop is a treasure trove of pre-loved items, from clothing and books to furniture and bric-a-brac. Everything here has been donated by members of the community, and all profits are reinvested into local initiatives. It's not just a shop, it's a testament to sustainability and supporting one another. Let's step inside and have a chat with Mari George, one of the founders who helps run this wonderful initiative.
Well, it's called Shaka Glass, which is the Gaelic for green shop. It's just a bit of everything, and everything in the shop has been donated by members of the community,
right,
near and far. So the best thing about the shop is that it stretches out, like we have a big commuter traffic going by.
Yeah.
And we have everything is as good as new in the shop. But we are nearly a victim of our own success at this time.
Yeah.
Because it started back in 2012. And we have a great network built up as well. You know, we have someone that collects the teddy bears, you know, and makes use of them. They get them ready and they're all sent off out to Africa. So, yeah. And the ones that would be coming in a bit soiled or anything, they'll clean them and wash them and prepare them.
So how did it come to be yours then? Like, I mean, we're on the main stretch here.
It was a tire centre.
Right, okay.
And that's what was in here. And it came up for sale like about 20 years ago now, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I thought about the location. You know, it's all about location, as you know.
Main street, yeah.
Location is very important. But look, it's been unbelievable. Like, it's been a fantastic success, you know.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
and it is over so many different rooms. So, yeah. Nia, tell us about yourself. Like, you're young, you're in school.
I'm in transition year. So, okay, this year we do Goshka with the school.
Right.
And it's an award. It's a president's award where you have to volunteer once a week for about 13 weeks. So I started here about 6 weeks ago.
So that's instead of being in school and you come, that's part
of
the
award. Well, I already have a half day on a Wednesday, so I come in straight off the bus.
She's not the only one. Like, we've lots more as well that do the same. Boys and girls.
Yeah.
Gives them a bit of experience and a bit of ideas of meeting people.
Mara, you have not only a motto for life, about sustainability, but a motto for the shop as well.
Yeah, that is a kind of a community hub.
Yeah.
You know, it's informal, and we have the same customers coming back same day each week. You'll know what day they'll come in, you know, and then we'll have new people coming in all the time. And we'll have the people calling in that are only passing by, and they'll always stop here. Say somebody from Galway, she buys picture frames here for her classes over in the school in Galway. We have a lot of contacts like that from all over the country.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting as well, and I love it. And we're lucky, like, Ballin is very vibrant. You know, there's lots of industries around us, small and big. I think anyone that gets involved in the community would have a great time here in Ballin. They'd have something to do. And the network of people is fantastic. And the school was very good as well. Like, just 10 years now since we put in a school garden made with local granite. You know, at the back of the school is a little forestry area. And that's been fantastic. And it's been used all the time, so it's great. And we have polytunnels up there, and we do the gardening with the children as well. And last year, for the first time, they put it on as part of the curriculum. Like, each Monday, it was gardening day, and the kids come out with their turns from all the different classes. Just to be able to handle the clay and know what it's like, you know.
It just has very, like, together of a community. Like, we have the cafe set up, and we have Maxis across the road. It's just... like, places have been here, like, a long time, and it, like, just creates a very nice atmosphere as well. You just have all these shops as well, and it's very, like, compact little one street nearly town. But yeah, it's nice. I call it Ballin City because you have everything in the one village, I think.
And it's not just Siopa Glass that demonstrates the spirit of community support in Ballin. I'm delighted to be joined now by Fadi Alassamari, who opened the first pharmacy in Ballin after coming to Ireland as a refugee from Syria in 2014. Fadi is joining us via Zoom as he is currently traveling back to Syria, where he's visiting family that he's not seen in many years. Fadi, welcome to my town.
Hi, how are you?
So, you were one of the first refugees from Syria to be resettled into Ireland in 2014, and the program was operated by the United Nations Refugee Agency. Can you tell us just around that time what was happening and how you got, you know, how that opportunity came to you?
Actually, when we moved from Syria to Jordan, United Nations start pick up families, let's say, from Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey, all around the countries around Syria, where is the people start move to. Mm-hmm. I get like a few invitation. One of them was for Ireland. And, you know, as a pharmacist, they told me like how we needed, let's say, in the community.
Yeah.
And there is opportunity for work better than any other country. They're looking for people at that stage who has that degrees or certificate or something to help the community. So you will not treat it as a refugee. You will be part of the community. And that was the most important things for me.
Yes.
Because I had been working before in my country. I worked in Jordan with international companies there. So I don't want to treat it as a, you know, a refugee or stay on a payment from the government or something like that. I was looking for opportunity to work, and that was the first reason for me to accept Ireland at that stage. And the second most important reason was like to the whole family together.
Yeah.
Some countries, they was like pick up me and leave my dad, my mom behind me. They need just only me from the whole family, where Ireland, they offered me to have all my family together.
A lot changed, obviously, in 2011. A war broke out. And then when you moved to Ireland, you were actually in a direct provision centre, but for a short period before you moved to Port Laoise.
We started in Drogheda, Mosny,
yeah,
for 3 months nearly. Then we resettled in Port Laoise, yeah.
And did you feel very welcomed there?
Since day one, since the airplane. I don't know if I told you that before, but like it was the first refugees airplane. So I am from the first Syrian family who came at that program at that stage. Welcoming was like great from the community in Drogheda, where there's loads of Irish people come to Mosny to visit us, to support us, to say like we share same tragedy before, where like, you know, all the Irish war, and they start explaining to us that they leave this situation before, they welcome us, don't worry, be comfortable to be part of that community. They start tell us about Ireland, about the history of Ireland. All of that was from day one, to be honest.
And Fadi, do you know what's really interesting is this has come up quite a bit throughout us, you know, talking to different people from my town, is the fact that the sadness of the experience of leaving a home country is something that resonates so much with Irish people. But you're actually the first person to say it, actually. We've talked about it off mic, but you're the first to say it, which is incredible. And I'm glad that you had that experience, because it is a huge life-changing thing to have to leave your home country. And now, Fadi, you're in Ballin in Carlow, and, you know, you're a very important member out there. Pharmacists are essential to the community, and you're happy with your life.
Great opportunity. I get like, I worked before in a few pharmacies around the countries, and then I start looking for a place. Ballin, it's a small, a great, close community to each other. We grow up in a community like this. That's why that's the first reason for me why I did open in Ballin. I like to have the chat with people. I like not just only, it's a community pharmacy. You know those days with no offense, but with those big companies of a pharmacy, we start lose that sense of a community pharmacy. I would like to go and see the same pharmacist, same team, talk to them, tell them about my problem, share my things with them as a part of the community. That's the whole idea from a community pharmacy.
You're going back to Syria, and it's the first visit for many, many years. And like, you have family there still.
I have family, friends. I didn't see my grandmom for the last 14 years. We didn't even get the chance to see her face because there is no internet in my city till December. Then she saw my children for the first time. It's a great feeling, but it's still, you know, sad. You left them for a long, long time without even seeing their face, like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's emotional things. I can't wait.
You are such an amazing representative of Ballin, and I'm so happy to hear your story and to speak to you. It's been a privilege, and thank you so much, and please do travel safely. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your call.
Now we're stepping out onto the main street, where we see the fruits of Ballin's improvement group's labour. This dedicated group has worked tirelessly to foster community spirit and pride in their village, and their efforts have certainly paid off. Ballin is a bustling hub with a fantastic array of small businesses and services. One of the things that makes Ballin so special is that you really have everything you need right here. From a pharmacy to a hardware store to childcare facilities and a hotel, Ballin has it all. There's even a business training center offering courses on a variety of topics from patchwork to drum meditation. And speaking of business, I've heard there's an innovative entrepreneur right here in Ballin who is making waves in the world of road safety.
I needed a light to keep me safe on the road. And from my background in engineering, I designed my own light of a necessity.
Let's meet Pork George, the founder of Bodylight Gear, a company that designs and manufactures road safety tech wearables.
One light turned into a second light, a third light, and I developed the product. And from 2016 to 2025 now, that light turned into a brand based around road safety.
Yeah. And you're fully kitted out. So you've got your top, you've got your hat. Like, so there's lots of different products in the range now.
Yeah, you have reflectivity. Yeah. When light hits this beanie, for example, it turns white.
Does it?
Yes. The jacket is designed that you're visible during the day. With white is bright during the day. At nighttime, the silver reflects.
It's essential. It really is. Somebody who's always been your supporter, Natalie, if you want to join us, she's fully kitted out now.
Do you know if you're running holding a torch, trying to have a light, none of that worked. So when I saw the running belt and you got in touch saying you were bringing it out, that was a godsend.
Yeah.
And since then, Bodylight's product range has just developed endlessly with all of these incredible reflective products.
We always like hearing stories about people who don't go to big urban centres. What is it about it as a community, as a county for you that's so strong?
When it comes to Carlow, I think there's a very strong presence when it comes to like an online community. Do you know, there's so many, there's like kind of local run groups, or there's different running grounds, or there's different hiking groups. Everyone likes to connect and support each other with different places you can go for your walks, your runs, your coffees. I think there's so many smaller towns within Carlow that the community aspect is so strong.
And now it's time to take a break and refuel. Luckily, Ballin has just the place for that. Café de Mode, voted customer's most wanted café in Ireland in 2018, is a must visit. This café's charming atmosphere, lovely staff, and delicious coffee make it the perfect place to relax and catch up with friends. And who better to tell us about the vibrant culture in Ballin than Jean-Paul Payne, the chair of Carlow Pride Festival and a regular at Café de Mode. So, Paul, tell us how it all began for you.
So I realised I was living in Canada that Canada is very advanced when it comes to like LGBTQI issues. I was very fortunate to be able to be a part of that. So when I came back to Carlow, I felt invigorated to do something good for Ireland, to bring back some of the good Nessie, you know, the kind of way. So when I came back, my coming back here was hugely positive. Now, it took a while to get the wheels on the cart.
Yeah.
You know, like, things aren't, don't happen overnight.
Yeah.
But I'm in a really good situation now. So I suppose if anyone listens to this overseas,
come back to Ireland.
Okay. What year did you come back?
2018.
Okay. And you decided to set up a committee, the parade. Yeah. Tell us about all of that.
So how it all happened was, the joke is that I was in my chaise longue eating grapes. And everyone skits me for that. But really, the actual real story was, I was in bed one night and I thought to myself, you know, I'm after having this really great experience overseas. I was part of like LGBTQI programs in Canada. And I had a really great connection with the community there. I thought to myself, you know, with all that experience and all the kind of stuff you go through as a child in your teenage years, all the positive things I experienced since then,
yeah,
that I really should come back here and do something good for local rural Ireland. What happened was I put up a Facebook status. My Facebook was a thing. But I don't know if it still is a thing. Put up a Facebook status and said, would anyone be interested in like having a small little carol parade?
Yeah.
Pride parade. And I woke up the next morning and I had 600 likes. Oh. The page did. So I said, right, I better get the ball rolling. So I'd never really seen a pride flag in Carlow before. And I went to the library the next day because I was looking for work and I was getting my CV done and doing all my portfolio and stuff. And I saw in the library, across the way in reception, a tiny little pride flag printed onto a leaflet. I thought to myself, I wonder what that is. So I went over and on it was a little group starting a little LGBT group. And they wanted to have people, guest speakers, come in Carlow and talk about it. So I thought, light bulb moment, perfect idea to go and pitch my little Carlow Pride Festival idea. First event that we had organised, I said to the guys in the committee, are you prepared to walk down the street, just six of us?
Yeah.
With a flag on your back. And our real actual thought about the response to this would be maybe 100 people, 120 people might turn up and walk with us. On 21st of July 2019, 3,500 people appeared on the streets of Carlow. Just to put that in context, 10,000 people live in Metro Carlow. 4,000 people showed up that day.
That's insane.
So from all of both corners of Ireland. So then that's been recurring every year since. And we have a main sponsor, for the last 2 years, we have a main sponsor, Yahoo, in the United States. They have offices here. And we officially have the Yahoo stage in Carlow.
Yeah, that's great. That's incredible. And then out of that, you decided during COVID to publish a newsletter.
Yes. So we had a website that was underutilized. And we decided to, like, let's just pop a newsletter during COVID. Let's do some communication with people. Let's celebrate LGBTQI people locally on our website. And so it ended up it being a magazine that you could download to the website. And then we said, okay, like, let's just do an online magazine. And it was gorgeous. And then we got a phone call from Nationalist, who was part of the Irish Times Group, and said, would you be interested in doing another issue for us? So since then, we've had a great relationship with the Irish Times Group and the Nationalist. And this year, before our festival, you will see the Outmag issue 8. Don't quote me on that. That's like a mastermind question.
Yeah.
Being printed, full print, this year again. So we're very proud of our magazine. And our magazine has a different reach to Carlow Pride Festival. That appears in homes that we don't appear in. So conversations happen around the magazine, so it has a massive impact. Actually, it might have a bigger impact than the actual festival itself.
But Ballin is not just about modern amenities. It's also a place where history and nature intertwine. Ballykeely House, a historic 19th century manor, stands as a testament to Ballin's rich past. And for those seeking to connect with nature, the Altamont Gardens offer an enchanting blend of gardens with riverside walks covering over 40 acres. Ballin also boasts a native tree trail, a community fairy garden, and a newly renovated clubhouse for the Ballin Gaelic Football Club. It's clear that Ballin has something for everyone, but what truly sets this village apart is its unwavering community spirit. And to capture the essence of Ballin through her lens, we're now joined by photographer Rachel Finelli in her wonderful Ra Ra Photography studio. So Rachel, tell us, how does something like this come about?
I always say I feel very, like, some people are always like, oh, you're so lucky. I'm like, well, there's a lot of hard work involved as well.
Yeah.
As luck, and like, I do work very hard. But like, say if you want to plan to have a family and stuff and you're like, well, it's not going to work for me to have to get up and go, like, when I can do it here.
Yeah.
Like, there's often been nights, like, after I had Florence, my daughter, where I would be out here with a top.
Yeah.
You know, a pair of slippers and a pajamas getting through product orders, because that's
how you do it.
That's
yeah.
Absolutely, you know, so it's fantastic to have the space here. Like, I do feel very grateful, and it's lovely. It's so peaceful.
So what is it for you about Ballin?
Well, funny enough, myself and my husband, we are so laid back. And we had a budget to buy a house 6 years ago, and we wanted to live in the country. And yeah. We went to the auctioneer. I was actually renting a commercial premises off, and we said, this is how much money we have. We don't want a really big house. We want to live out the country with a bit of land. What have you got? And he says, we have this in Ballin. I said, that's grand. We'll buy it.
Really?
Literally. Oh, we came to view the house and then we got the keys. Yeah, absolutely. We got the keys of the house and we moved out here. And honestly, I say it all of the time, we feel like we're on holidays since we moved here.
Amazing.
Honestly, from like, you go down to get your meat and the local butcher's from Michael. And he's like, good morning, how are you?
Met him.
Yeah, he's so old. It's lovely. Like, he puts your meat in the car for you. And then you have Maura George, who's just, like, I always call her the Lord Mayor. Like, and actually, what really helped me integrate into Ballin, like, I'm quite introverted by nature. So I'm like, I'm going to have to do something to try get into the community here. Yeah. And Shubha Gloss, I went down to them and said I would offer my services free of charge. Like, I'm proficient on social media, photography and stuff like that. I was like, is it okay if I photograph the stuff you have in the shop?
Wow.
And I'll post it. Give me access to your social media and I'll run that for you. And Maura's delighted. And ever since they did that, they just welcomed me, par and breed it, like,
we met that.
There's nothing like a Brita hug. Yeah. And she's so welcoming. And like, even the opportunities Maura has given to me,
yeah,
from just me helping them out. And I just feel so deep rooted in the Ballin community now. Like, it's amazing. It's so lovely. It really is.
There's one more story I want to share before we leave. Let's head back to Shopa Gloss for a moment. When Ukrainian refugees arrived in Ballin, they were met with open arms. The community converted their newly renovated community centre into a temporary accommodation and provided the refugees with essential items and support. Shopa Gloss wasn't just a thrift shop for these families. It was a lifeline, a place of connection and comfort during a time of unimaginable upheaval. I'm here with Bernie, one of the shop's dedicated volunteers. Bernie, I understand you have a letter written by one of the Ukrainian refugees to Brida, the shop owner, you'd like to read out.
Well, the very special message is actually for Brida, who runs the shop. And I think the shop was actually a lifeline for a lot of the Ukrainian people that came to the village. First of all, as regards coming down, shopping, you know, there wasn't a whole lot for them to do here. Yeah. And then some wanted to volunteer. And I think that wasn't that a great help, Brida, for them. You have given us the happiest months of our lives. We have never been so happy anywhere as in Ballin. We love you and your store very much. We have never felt so happy anywhere. Thank you very much, ladies who work with you. Thank you very much to all the residents of Ballin, all citizens of Ireland, and thanks to the government of Ireland. It is a difficult time for us. You did everything possible and impossible to make us happy. May God bless you all with a long and happy life.
As we leave Ballin, we carry with us the warmth of this community, the beauty of its surroundings, and the inspiration of its people. Thank you for joining us on this journey to Ballin. Until next time, keep exploring the hidden gems of Ireland. My Town is presented by me, Alison Curtis. Audio by Cathal O'Sullivan. Scripting and sound design by Lachlan Hart. Researcher Shannon Kenny, executive producer Mark Lenihan. This project is co-funded by Commission Naman under the Sound and Vision Scheme.